If your job is on life support, you need the Job Doctor. My brain is a walking database of thousands of case studies on how careers rise and fall. I'll help you diagnose what's really going on. It's the guidance you need to get back on track from someone who's been there. You can make the money you always wanted to make, doing the type of work you have always wanted to do. You may just need a little help from the Job Doctor. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Job Doctor. Today, The Job Doctor is in, and we are talking about retaliation, especially retaliation that might impact you financially in a very big way, like equity vests that are coming up or a lack of getting a bonus. And I think this is a really interesting question. So I have Danny on the line today. Danny, welcome to the show. And will you just give us a brief summary of what's happening in your life? Because it's pretty, there's a lot of stuff happening here in your work world.
Oh, yes, there is. First off, Tessa, thank you very much for having me on the show. I appreciate listening to you and all the advice that you've shared already publicly about resumes and building a good, you know, brand for yourself in the workplace.
Thank you.
Outside of that, the background is for the last 8.5 months, I've been working directly with a CEO and CTO of a fintech company. And originally, when I came on, we negotiated a little less compensation for equity. And throughout the entire time that I was working, equity was always thrown out as sort of like this motivator to get people to work nights and weekends or to, you know, support things outside of their job title, but to like also try to make everybody feel like they had ownership in the company so they would continue to be dedicated.
Yeah, very common for fintech. Yeah, that's a primary way to make money is the equity. Yeah.
And I was very dedicated, you know, not just for the equity of the compensation, but as a former business owner or continued business owner, like I know what it means to be part of a team and for that team to reach a goal. We were building something that didn't exist.
Yeah.
And bringing it to life. And so that was really important to me. And so with the equity constantly being used as a motivator, I thought that it was something that was in the bag. I thought that them having me, you know, wait a year for it to vest and 3 years, I mean, a year for the cliff and 3 years for it to come to fruition. I thought that meant that it was a way for them to ensure that I would stay.
Right. I mean, you never think about the rug getting ripped out from under you, which is sounds like what happened.
Exactly. So long story short, I had some issues with a fellow coworker who originally was brought in under me. I thought that I was their manager and department head. And then, you know, when I brought up the first issue, kind of got demoted to being their equal. Then there was another issue where they were acting out on a video call in front of the CEO. And I brought that issue up again and said, you know, this is behavior that has to be addressed because it's impeding work getting done. And I wrote a letter to the CEO and CTO so that there was some formal documentation about the issue and so that we can address it. And the initial response to me was positive and thank you for bringing this up. We're going to address it. And what actually happened was I got demoted. So it was like, well, since this person is having an issue with you, what we'll do is we'll just take the work away from you. So you'll no longer be head of the product. You'll keep your title, but like you'll just do Figma stuff.
So really, you're still who you are and you're still whole in your title, but we're basically stripping a bunch of stuff from you. And then, as I remember you saying, it actually got worse from there, right? So they demoted you not only in responsibility, but eventually they said, bye-bye, right?
Right. Yeah. It started with, oh, you can take vacation now. With that within the week, it was like, well, actually, we want to go halftime with you, which I didn't understand what halftime means in a job where time isn't considered, is not a factor. And then immediately the day after was you're terminated effective immediately. And
they replaced you with another person, correct?
So not even so much that they replaced me. I was working with a contractor the whole time who was a persona expert. So they were brought in to help with expertise about a particular user group. And when it came to them demoting me, I was told that this person who was of a different background than me.
Meaning, let's get clear about that. They're Caucasian.
Yes.
Right. And you're a woman of color.
I'm a woman of color. So to be told that a person of a different background who is Caucasian has, you know, is better suited to do the job, even though it's not their expertise. They're not a designer. They don't claim to do that work. That was a big, you know, that was a big thing to be told. This is the reason why, you know, we only want you half time or not at all. That's discrimination outright. And then when I asked, I know I was gracious when the transition happened. And I just said, hey, you know, I'm not going to make a big deal of this. I just like to get my vacation payout and equity payout because these are the things that were promised to me in my offer and, employee contract. And I was told flat out, no, you're worth less than that.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to unpack here because I'm hearing this from a human resources executive frame of mind. And so let me give people who are listening a little bit of lay of the land on this. Companies, the higher you go, higher that position is, the less likely I've found that a leader is likely to go through what I would call a good process if they don't feel like they're happy with somebody. The other thing to know is that companies will, when they don't do the right job to give people performance feedback, they typically compensate for it with higher severance. They pay more out because they have more risk, especially where you're a woman of color. However, the other thing companies will do is they will give you as little information as possible. I know this because I was HR. I was the head of HR. They'll give you as little information as possible so you can't make a discrimination claim. So things like, hey, let's have you take a lot of vacation. Will you do that? Which is really uncharacteristic for an employer who wants to typically get as much out of you as they can. They'll do that. So it sounds like you we're dealing with a really ambiguous situation where you knew they weren't happy. They were starting to have you do less, but not addressing a problem. And before you knew it, you were let go. But you were let go in a way that really hurt you because they didn't let you continue to vest. As I recall, you were just short of a vesting date and they said, we will not fix that for you. You're terminated before that. Is that right?
The vesting wouldn't have been until next year because it was 90 days after I start. Mm-hmm. But what is going on in the company is they're experiencing two valuation spikes because they're selling the product that I built. Thereby, there was no problem with it. And they're going for their Series A. And the CEO specifically told me, because I'm now selling and because we're going to Series A, you know, I don't want to cover your costs. That's like literally what he told me.
Yeah. Yeah. So companies can discriminate against people for a lot of reasons, right? They can fire you because you're ugly. Honestly, a company can legally fire you because you're ugly. A company can't legally fire you because of a race. You know, if you think that it's because of race. Now, here's what happens in these lawsuits. You, in this case, are saying, this is clearly discrimination. A company is saying, no, no, no. This is clearly performance or clearly we're just using our at will and decided we're not going to give you a reason. We just want to do something different, which often hides the real reason, which is why companies get in lawsuits. And then somebody just has to create reasonable doubt, right? That it was about discrimination. So in a case like this, my grandma used to say this, when it smells like poop, it's poop. And so that's why people win cases, even if it truly wasn't the company's intent to discriminate. My question for you is this. What did you do? Did you just walk off and did you sign something that was a release of claims, which is basically, here's severance money, sign this to get it. Did you sign anything?
I did not sign anything. They did try to get me to sign something that said I would destroy all evidence that I ever worked for them.
Interesting. Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. I have not heard of that one. But you did not sign a release of claims?
I did not.
Okay. Did they put one in front of you?
Release of claims?
Basically
no.
A severance agreement. I call it a release of claims. That's what it is to an HR person. But for you, it would be here's severance for you going away. Did you sign something to get severance?
I didn't sign anything. And anything that would have sounded like that was an email that he sent with two deals.
Okay.
That were way less than the vacation pay.
And the reason that they gave you for the termination, this is also very important for me to understand. Was it, we're just exercising our at will? What was the reason they gave you? And did they put anything in writing at all about why?
Why was not in writing. It was a video call. Mm-hmm. This is a company that was allergic to documentation.
Yep. There's a reason for that.
Pretty much one of two people in the company who, you know, were head of departments that documented anything. but I did not sign anything. And the reason that he gave me was because he's selling to a new audience and we're going for Series A. He didn't want to cover my costs.
He wanted to save
the
money.
And he also felt that the Caucasian woman, her background made her more suitable than my background.
Mm-hmm. And she's a consultant, correct?
And she's a consultant, yes.
Making it even more complicated for you. All right. So let me unpack what your options are. You can be terminated after several demotions, and your company has the right to do that, right? They can demote you for any reason they want, even discrimination. It's just that it creates risk for them. They must feel like they don't have a lot of risk for them not to ask you to sign a release of claims and give you severance. So they must feel like they're on pretty solid ground here. But there's no documentation of them saying to you, you are screwing this up, right? They didn't ever sit you down and say, we just don't like it. It was really underhanded. It was, hey, take some time off. Hey, you're still great. We're just going to take away some responsibilities.
And for the most part, all my work was praised every step of the way.
So your performance appraisals are pretty high.
Yeah.
Okay.
And those are all verbal also.
Okay. So here's something for people that are listening to understand. A company will document only when it serves them. They will document something to change the narrative of a situation so that they can get the narrative they want around something. Typically, if a company is doing something like firing somebody and they don't have the documentation, they'll either give you severance because they think the risk is high, or they'll just go really silent and they'll say, we're just triggering our at-will, which we can let you go if we want to let you go. And because they're not hiring another employee, this is a contractor who's just taking on more work. It also muddies the waters because they're not an employee. So they can't say they hired another employee to do this work. So yes, they can terminate you. I'm trying to go through the questions that you have that I know about. They can terminate you and they can state there's no reason at all. And because equity is given to people with very precise rules that can't be changed, they can't change your vesting or forward vest it without board approval. And even with board approval, it happens so rarely because it's really, really structured. 401ks and equity is really, really structured and very difficult and problematic for a company to change. So if I could reconstruct what happened to you, what I would have told you to do, and what you still possibly could do if not a lot of time has passed, is say, I don't want the termination to go into effect until such and such a date. Keep me on as a on-call worker, right? Because already we're reducing your hours. Keep me on as an on-call worker and terminate me with a term date of X, which is whenever that vesting occurs, so that you can gain something from that. The only way the company is going to do that is if they feel you present risk. The only way they feel you present risk is if you can work with an attorney and you can actually put together a discrimination claim that holds enough water that you could make the argument. And so far, like I haven't dug in really deep, but so far I know you're a woman of color. There's no performance criteria that's been outlined that you were doing a poor job. And they continued to ask you to do these kind of things that were leading you down a path that said they weren't happy without saying it out loud. And that could be construed as discrimination, particularly if an attorney went in and got records from other people who were let go and they treated you differently than other people. So that's kind of where it stands with how all of this works out. And so when I was terminating people and I was playing the other side of the fence, I always tried to look at the person's equity date, equity vest date, particularly if they'd been doing a decent job for me. And I would try to back into that so that they could walk away with something. So, because you get lawsuits when you treat people like crap. That's when you get lawsuits, when you don't treat people the way you would want to be treated. And it sounds like that's exactly what has happened here, is they've not treated you the way I would expect them to treat somebody, even if you weren't working out or they didn't like you. They haven't treated you the way that I would have expected. Ask me what other questions you have about this, and let's dissect it even further for you.
Without getting emotional, I guess the other question I would have is, how do I avoid getting into an equity scam situation.
By scam, you mean I'm going to dangle this carrot that I have no intention of giving you?
Yes. Like one, me and them negotiating for lower compensation for equity.
Yeah.
And then them just saying, well, we're just going to get rid of you because now that our valuation is set to go up, we don't want to give you this equity. So
yeah,
it's one reason why we're letting you go. How do I avoid that?
I don't know that you can totally avoid it, to be honest. Here's the things I would talk about with a new employer. I would pre-negotiate a severance in the event things don't work out, because while they love you and they want to hire you, they don't think they're ever going to have to let you go. And I would want to work out a pre-negotiated severance. So that's one way to do it. The other way to do it, and it doesn't work with everybody, is if I had gotten a hold of this before it happened, I would have said, they want to fire you. They're just chicken to do it. Go talk to them and say, I know that this isn't working for you. I can, you know, it appears as though it's not working for you. Can I offer up an alternative that allows us both to land on our feet? And I would have given you a script to use to say, let me go on call till this date. I'm happy to give you the work that you need and help transition a person, but allow me to stay on the books, A, for benefits, B, so I can get a reference, you know, and it helps me actually land another job if I have a job, and C, I want to get to that equity vesting date. And if you had had that conversation, they would be more likely to have said yes. And if they didn't, you could use the discrimination card and they would then reassess risk. And so it would have been easier to get. But what's really hard is to do it after you've left. And for those listening, if you've signed something, it gets incredibly hard. Or you haven't signed something. How long ago did this happen?
Oh, this happened June 16th.
So not very long ago then. This is really current.
Yes.
I personally would recommend that you get an attorney. And I would ask an attorney who specializes in employment law to help you. Because I think you have enough leverage that you might be able to go back and possibly fix some of this. I mean, at a minimum, you might be able to get severance. Equity is going to be very difficult to undo. I've seen it done before, but it's really, really, really hard. So that's not good news for you, I know. But certainly when you're looking at a new job, know that equity is a double-edged sword. It's a wonderful thing for all the promises and the way it makes us work, right? When we get ownership, we work harder, no question. But it's really hard if a company makes up their mind that they're going to let you go. It's really hard for you to control that equity piece because you can't change the dates. You can't. I've known companies that actually let people go a week before the vesting occurs, which is really stinky. So
I've read some horror stories.
Yeah,
like that.
You just have to know it is what it is. It's great. On the one end, if it works for you, it works great. Pays off houses, you know, helps people tremendously. And when it doesn't work in a very big, bad way. And in fact, another nightmare story, I had somebody go work for a competitor. The company decided to trigger the non-compete, which rarely happens in today's world anymore. But not only did they trigger the non-compete, there was a really small print clause in their employment agreement when they started that said they could claw back equity, and that person had cashed out equity and the company got it back. They had to pay him back. Can you imagine paying several hundred thousand dollars back after you thought you had it in the bag? So
that's extra scary.
So read the small print, you know, equity is great and it's horrible.
Okay.
Yeah. What other questions do you have about that? Anything you can think of I haven't addressed, even though I just totally deflated your day?
No, you didn't deflate my day. It's just, I've been struggling for a long time to try to be a good employee after having been a business owner for so many years of my career. And so going into it and getting this job and seeing how it's come to an end, it's very disheartening. It feels like employees almost have no rights unless they are capable and ready to fight for it. Whereas a business owner, you set more terms for yourself. So
that's true. And it's one of the reasons, Danny, that I pre-negotiate severance. I have not worked with a client that I haven't asked to pre-negotiate severance. That's at least a mid to senior level person for a long time.
And with pre-negotiating severance, that's not going to come off as like being ungrateful or jumping the gun at the beginning of a relationship?
No, a company expects you to negotiate. And it's about the story, right? It's about the story you tell. And on pre-negotiated severance, you're not saying, hey, I'm going to suck. So give me, I want to pre-negotiate severance for when you fire me. The story that you tell is, hey, I'm making a big life change. This is a risky move. I'm in a company that's safe and I'm moving to a risky thing. I just want to make sure I land on my feet. Not in the event I don't perform, because you can fire me for performance and don't pay me severance. But in the event something happens like a consolidation, a merger, an acquisition, you go out of business, I want to be protected for this big move that I'm making. And I just want to make sure that I have enough to land on my feet in that circumstance. And that is a better story to tell. So you do have to be just careful about how you frame it with the employer.
Okay. That sounds like an amazing story to tell. And I could definitely do that. Because I was worried about that. Because I even think about it from a perspective as a business owner. Like, what if an employee came to me mm-hmm. and was negotiating? How would I respond? How would I react? And, you know, would I respect them for how they came at me? Or would I see it as they already have one foot out the door?
It's got to have logic behind it, right? And that second example I gave you, that had logic behind it that you go, oh, okay, that makes a little more sense to me. And mm-hmm. so anything you ask for in a negotiation, you know, if it's a sign-on bonus, it has to have logic. Like, I'm walking away from this and this makes me hold. That's a story that you can get behind. So let me just summarize with a couple of tips for you and for people that are listening that I think are important. Number one, equity. If you're going to a company that's giving you equity, understand how and when the equity vests when you get in so that you can really pay attention and don't lose track of those vesting dates. If you ever feel like your company is setting you up to terminate you or isn't happy with what they're doing, even though they're not saying it outright, they're just dropping clues all over the place and breadcrumbs like this company, I really recommend that you address it head on without saying that you're doing anything wrong, but say, this is a story I'm telling myself about what's happening. And if this is what you are thinking, you don't like me or whatever, let's come up with a solution that allows both of us to land on our feet. And the reason you have that conversation ahead of time is because your perception of what's happening is probably 10 times worse behind the scenes. You know, I could have told you weeks ago, if you would have brought the story to me, I'd say, they're going to fire you. They're going to let you go. So let's get out ahead of it. And let's use leverage as race and discrimination to help you get what you need to do. And the fact that the company doesn't want risk and the fact that the company really does want to move forward with another solution. Let's help them get it and take all their barriers out of the way so you can both have a win. So those would be the things that I would say. And third, negotiate for, at a minimum, pre-negotiated severance. If you're close to being senior, mid-level to senior, I think that's a really important thing to ask for. Very few people ask for it.
Okay.
Is there anything before we close, Danny, that sticks out to you as something that is a takeaway with all of the complexity of your issue here?
I think there is one thing with the setup for termination. I was experiencing that early on and I did address it. And every time I addressed it, it was like no, things are great. Like, they would always mm-hmm. try to, you know, praise me or say things are good or we're happy. You're not going anywhere. It was even one meeting where the CEO said, given our track record, you have nothing to worry about in terms of losing your job because we don't fire people except for the one Black man that they hired before I came on. So now their record is firing two people
there
of color.
You go.
But I say that to say that one of the main reasons that the CEO celebrated bringing me on was because they couldn't get their seed funding if they didn't have a woman in tech, in a tech position. And after they closed that funding, that's when I started feeling that push of we want to terminate you. And that was like a month, 2 months in, where they used my name, my face, my image to get this money. Yeah. And then they were like, well, we only really trust that you could do the job.
I think you have a pretty good case if you get an attorney. I think you have a pretty good case because it doesn't all have to necessarily be what they were doing. You just have to say, this is a story I'm telling myself. These are the things that don't line up and why it feels like discrimination. An attorney should be able to help you get that story in a way that could go back to the company. And it may be enough leverage for you to at least walk away with something.
Okay. Well, it is good to know that I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
And lost in my emotions because, you know, this is my livelihood. So, of course, it is going to affect me personally. But it's good to know that I'm not crazy, that the signs were there and that there's work for me to do still.
I don't know who's right, who's wrong in any of it. And actually it doesn't matter when it comes to discrimination. It's the story that people believe. It doesn't matter really as much as what's right or wrong. And the company's story is going to be, we had to cut costs prior to a liquidity event, and we used our at will. But I think you have enough other facts that you could make this work for you. So good luck with it.
All right. Thank you also for the future advice on, paying attention to equity and pre-negotiating severance. I really appreciate that.
All right. Thanks, Danny. If you like my podcast, you will absolutely love my book. It's called The Unspoken Truths for Career Success, Navigating Pay, Promotions, and Power at Work. I wrote it because I could see that people didn't understand why some people got ahead and some people's career stayed stagnant. So if you're interested in building a more frictionless career path for yourself and having a better experience with work, this is a book that you need to have. It's called The Unspoken Truths for Career Success. You can buy it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or go to my website at thejobdoctor.com.